This will be the first tape in a series of tapes that I will be sending you regarding my feelings and my observations regarding the Constitutional Convention. Other tapes that you will be sent will be talking about, will be the meetings that I've had with other people and various other subjects. On this one, I want to start a report, and it will be titled Planning for a Constitutional Convention. That will be the title of this report, and what follows shortly will be the foreword to that report, and then some of the main body. What I envision is that I will send the tape to you, let you get started on it, typing it in rough draft form, and then as I gain things and further information on the rest of the trip, we may incorporate it into one report. But for the time being, anything that I refer to on this tape or later on as I discuss with you on the tape will be under this report and under this title. I'm going to start out now with the foreword. We will leave the introduction and the table of contents to a later time. So this part right now will be labeled under foreword. In 1982, the electorate of the state of Alaska will be faced with the question of whether or not to hold a constitutional convention. The legislature, in preparation for a convention, should a majority of the voters approve of one, has established a joint interim committee on the constitutional convention. Period. There has been some questions relating to the establishment of this committee by those who feel it is, quote, too early to plan for a convention which we may not even have, period, unquote. I can only answer, if we fail now to deal with the uncertainties of the convention method, we could be undermining the success of a convention before it even begins, period. If we wait until the voters approve of a convention before undertaking proper planning, we would be running the enormous risk that procedures for the convention would have to be developed in a time of divisive controversy and confusion over the pertinent issues and within a restricted time frame. Paragraph. It is far more prudent to confront the problems openly and to supply safeguards and general rules in advance. In addition to being better governmental technique, a forthright approach to the convention methods seem far more likely to yield beneficial results than to delay to the last moment. Paragraph. For the construction and operation of a constitutional convention, there can be drawn no simple blueprint for success. But the process can be substantially simplified by using the experience of prior similar activities in other states and by meeting with persons with prior experiences in constitutional convention endeavors. Period. Paragraph. To this end, the committee authorized me to meet with recognized authorities on constitutional revision in the hopes that the information gleaned from their vast experience will pave the way for a successful constitution in Alaska should the voters authorize a convention in 1982. The source for this material has been drawn from the writings listed at the end of this report, from personal experiences and interviews with a number of individuals and personal reflections. At this time, Lando, we'll leave it at that, and I will list individuals at a later time. Okay, Linda, this section will be titled The Enabling Act. And that would be in capitals, and the body of the text follows. In preparation for a constitutional convention, one of the first things that the legislature must do is to pass legislation providing the basis for establishing the convention. Great care should be taken in writing this act, for its purpose is to enable the convention to get underway, not to control the convention. No better word of warning on this score has come than that from the Judiciary Committee of the New York Convention of 1894, colon. Indent this, Lando, a little bit. It is of the greatest importance that a body chosen by the people of this state to revise the organic law of the state should be as free from interference from the several departments of government as the legislative, executive, and judiciary are from interference by each other. Unless this were so, the will of the people might easily be nullified by the existing judiciary or legislature. Should the latter attempt to enact a law prohibiting the Constitutional Convention from restricting the existing power of the legislature, the act would at once... Let's go back. The act would be at once recognized as an unwarranted invasion of the rights of the people. Period, and put a footnote on this. At the bottom of the page, the footnote would read, quoted in Walter F. Dodd, comma, The Revision and Amendment of State Constitutions, Perrin, Baltimore, comma, the John Hopkins Press, comma, 1910, end of parens, comma, pp 79 through 80. Back to the body now. The purpose of an enabling act is to facilitate the selection of delegates and the operation of the convention. Nothing more, period. The following items are suggestive of matters which must be settled before the convention can get underway. Decision on the following subjects must be made, colon. Number one. Selection of delegates, colon, A, number, B, qualifications, C, basis of their selection, parens, district, comma, at large, comma, etc., end of parens, comma, D, method of their nomination and election, comma, E, date of the election, comma, F, administration of the election, comma, G, method of filling vacancies, semicolon. 2, date and procedure for convening the delegates, semicolon. 3, site of the convention, semicolon. 4. Provision for pre-convention planning an accumulation of materials, semicolon. 5, appropriations, colon. A, an amount adequate to finance all convention needs, comma, including official pre-convention activities, comma. B, post-convention activities, comma. C, accounting practices, semicolon. 6, compensation of delegates, colon. A, basis of payment, per diem, comma, monthly or flat amount for the whole convention, comma. B, amount of expenses allowed, comma, if any, comma, and for what purposes, comma. C, any special compensation for officers. New paragraph. The above has usually been sufficient. Three other matters, comma, however, comma, might be dealt with. Period. These should be considered inherent powers of a convention, but, comma, if there is any doubt, or if there is the possibility that critics may seek to exploit the fact of their absence from the Enabling Act, comma, then they should be included. Indention 7. Authority to require any officer of the state to furnish information or to appear before the convention or any committee thereof. Parens, this includes the authority to seek opinions from the Attorney General or other legal officer of the state. End of parens, semicolon. 8. Authority to use the facilities of the state or any local government when such use is not disruptive of regular governmental activities. Parens, this becomes particularly important if hearings by committees are conducted regionally. End of parens, semicolon. 9. A schedule for the convention's work, colon. A, provision for a recess during the life of the convention, comma. B, date for the completion of the convention's work, comma. C, date for submission of the convention's proposal to the people. New paragraph. The Enabling Act need not go deeply into matters of organization, comma, procedure, and personnel, and generally should avoid statements that may hamper the convention in carrying out its assigned functions. The convention should be free to determine how it will organize and manage itself. New paragraph. In the areas of personnel and materials, comma, the convention should have full control over its needs. The power to hire and fire personnel and within its own budgetary limits determine their rate of compensation, comma, as well as the power to purchase materials and equipment to contract for services fall within this category. The convention needs to be free to seek its personnel where it wants. It should not be required to borrow its staff from existing state agencies nor use existing facilities. No compromise should be made which will in any sense make the convention beholden to anyone outside itself. If the convention chooses to borrow state personnel for its staff, comma, or to use the Legislative Council or the Attorney General for assistance and advice, comma, it may do so, period. But to require the convention to use these sources is to give an external element a role in the convention, comma, a role potentially detrimental to the objectivity which the convention seeks to achieve, period. New section entitled Convention Site. The Alaska Constitutional Convention of 1955-56, following the example of the New Jersey Convention of 1947, which was convened on a college campus, held its convention on the campus of the University of Alaska at Fairbanks. Paragraph. In 1971, the legislature assigned two research persons to conduct a constitutional convention site survey. After visiting the Fairbanks campus, Anchorage, and Juneau, and evaluating the three sites as to location, facilities, timing, and other criteria, recommended that the University of Alaska Fairbanks again be the convention site. Paragraph. While a case be made that the atmosphere of a college campus provides a convenient retreat and escape from the atmosphere of a capital city and the political implications associated with it, and further that a campus is more conducive to deliberation, unity, and serious dedication, conditions have changed since 1955-56, when the university had a total enrollment of approximately 500 to 800 students. Not only would the university be hard-pressed to meet the demands of the materials and support required by a constitutional convention, parens, printing, office space, equipment, communications, etc., end parens, but it is doubtful that there would be adequate housing for the delegates on campus during a school year. If the delegates were housed in facilities in the town of Fairbanks, the convention would lose its sense of isolation it enjoyed in 1955-56. Other factors, including ease of transportation to Anchorage at present, comma, parens, 45 minutes by air, comma, 6 hours by automobile, end of parens, commuting back and forth to Fairbanks and to the services of the Departments of Law, Legislative Affairs Agency, and Executive Branch could undermine the success of the Constitutional Convention, comma, not to mention the additional costs of moving a myriad of staff and equipment to Fairbanks, parentheses. On the other hand, On the other hand, there are also problems associated with holding a convention in Anchorage or Juneau. Although, if one of the criteria for a convention is to keep the expense relatively low, Juneau would be almost ideal. Paragraph. In Anchorage, one of the major problems would be diversions. Due to the one-person, one-vote mandate, the majority of delegates will be from the Anchorage area. Although undoubtedly dedicated to their position as a delegate, there are always business, family, and social obligations in a person's hometown. The delegates would be housed in various areas throughout the city and thus lose the comradeship and single-purpose atmosphere which prevailed in the 1955-56 convention. As in Fairbanks, there is also the problem of moving equipment to the convention site and indeed even finding facilities which would be adequate to house a convention for the 60 to 90 days required. Paragraph. The main problems involved in holding a convention in Juneau are the public perceptions of, quote, what goes on in Juneau during a legislative session, unquote, comma, the distance to Juneau and accessibility of Juneau by the public, comma, the proximity to, quote, government, quote, unquote, comma, the political realities revolving around the issue of moving the capital, comma, and delegate housing. The general perception of the state capital, especially one which people perceive as, quote, isolated, unquote, as is the case of Juneau, comma, is an unsavory place. Most of this presumption is unfounded, as a person who has been in a state capital during a legislative session will admit. But the feeling does exist and could damage the integrity of the results of the convention. Paragraph. Many people in other areas of the state feel that Juneau is, quote, hard to get to, unquote, and to create a distance from other parts of the state. These people may feel that the public will be excluded from participating in the constitutional process if the convention is held in Juneau. Paragraph. Some persons may feel, comma, since Juneau is the capital, comma, that existing branches of government will control the delegates and the convention will be just another legislative session under a different name. Paragraph. Those who wish to move the capital from Juneau will see a convention in Juneau as another way to thwart their desires and will feel a convention should be, quote, closer to the people, unquote. Finally, delegate housing might be a problem in Juneau. At present, there are four major hotels in Juneau, which are usually full during the tourist season. During the regular legislative session, comma, the hotels are used by some legislators, comma, staff, comma, and lobbyists, and apartments are available many times because people vacate them in the winter. If the convention were held in October through December, there probably would be adequate housing. In summary, a preparatory commission, or the legislature itself, should look into all the pros and cons of each possible site, including conducting a site survey similar to the one held in 1971, to determine which place would best function physically to carry out the objectives and ideals of the convention. The changing times, technological advances, and public perceptions since the 1955-56 convention necessitate a very thorough study of this question. The next section, Land, is entitled Scheduling the Convention. This has a couple of subtitles under it, and I'll let you know as they come up. In 1955, the delegates were elected in September for a convention that began in early November. Since the referendum on the question of holding a constitutional convention will be before the voters in November 1982, comma, the Enabling Act could provide for a special election of delegates during the month of August 1983 and the convening of the convention in October 1983. This time frame would allow the legislature to establish a preparatory commission, if this has not already been accomplished, and give the commission adequate time to prepare for the convention. The new 13th legislature will also be in a position to appropriate the monies to fund the convention. Subtitle is Recess. The Enabling Act may provide for a recess during the convention. There are two schools of thought. One is that a convention needs at least one block of time set aside during which the delegates can return home in order to gain the benefit of public opinion and also to inform the public from their perspective rather than that of the public media. That break can come after the committees have reported tentative proposals. Paragraph. The other school of thought is to not have a full convention recess, comma, but rather allows various committees to hold public hearings on their particular proposals while other committees continue with their work. This system could result in a shorter convention. another subheading, Deadline. The Alaska Constitutional Convention of 1955-56 had a time limit of 75 days, including weekends and holidays, but not including the 15-day recess. As exemplified by the success of the Alaska Constitutional Convention product, the time limit did not seem to have an adverse effect on the delegates, although they worked late into the night during the last few weeks. As with all deliberative bodies, this probably would have happened if the time limit had been longer. New paragraph. The public tends to become dissatisfied with lengthy sessions, whether a legislative session or a constitutional convention, and no matter how much good work is accomplished, they may reject the proposals. A time limit may also affect the type of persons who stand for election as delegates. Many people refuse to run for legislative office due to the length of legislative sessions. Persons busily engaged in private business and professional life and other public activities may hesitate to commit themselves for an undetermined period of time. Paragraph. The Enabling Act should provide the convention with ample time for its work. The question of what is ample depends on the amount of preparatory work accomplished prior to the convention, including the identified issues which will be considered. Although much preparatory work was accomplished prior to the convening of the 1955-56 convention, it must be remembered that Alaskans were drafting a totally new constitution. If a constitutional convention is approved by the voters in 1982, a 60-day time limit should be more than adequate to complete any revisions to the Constitution, including time for public hearings or a recess. A safety valve could be provided to relieve the convention should it come down to the statutory limit without having completed its work. Provisions could be made to permit an extension of the convention for a limited period, provided the delegates so vote. Okay, Linda, why don't we start with a new paper. It'll be part of the same report, but I want you to start it again. And the title of this is Preparing for the Convention. Preparation for a constitutional convention is a major undertaking and cannot, if the convention is to succeed, be done in somebody's spare time. 65 delegates, plus staff, consultants, and the public will be brought together for weeks at least, and their needs both inside the convention and out must be met. Paragraph. Many of the delegates will lack experience. Let's start again. Many of the delegates will lack extensive, up-to-the-minute knowledge of many of the provisions of the Constitution, especially some of the little-known sections, period. Delegates will require competent staff assistance and should have the help of studies, prepared in advance, of the major questions and problems which will surface during the convention. New paragraph. The facilities for meetings must be secured, equipment brought together, staff assembled, and places for housing, dining, and some form of comfort and recreation must be found. End of paragraph. Adequate preparation is the first step toward a successful convention. The better the preparation, the faster a convention will get underway and the more efficiently it will operate. Subheading, Preparatory Commission. In 1955, the Alaska Statehood Commission functioned as a preparatory committee For constitutional convention, for the constitutional convention. During the 70s, the preparatory commissions for constitutional conventions were chosen using three basic systems. One, appointed by the executive branch. Two, appointed by the legislature. And three, appointed by both bodies. Paragraph. John P. Wheeler, in the Constitutional Convention Manual, suggests, quote, dash, 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 it may be wise to avoid dependence upon the executive, end of quotes. SB 723, comma, introduced in the Alaska legislature in 1980, comma, which passed both houses of the legislature, comma, was vetoed by the governor. One of the reasons stated in Governor Hammond's veto message was the makeup of the preparatory commission. He felt that the governor should appoint the commission and that no legislators should serve on the commission. He cited separation of powers and disqualification of legislatures as constitutional prohibitions against the system set forth in Senate Bill 723, paragraph. Perhaps a better system would be to establish the commission by joint action. The legislature can authorize creation of a commission, establish its functions, provide an adequate appropriation, and direct the governor to appoint its members with or without legislative confirmation. Paragraph. The function of such a commission should be to plan and supervise the preparations for a constitutional convention, including 1. Research, including A. Analyzing the problems of the present constitution. B. Issue educational materials. C. Conduct public hearings throughout the state to determine the public perception of the constitution and the pertinent issues which they may wish to change. D. Preparation of alternative solutions for consideration by the delegates. 2. Landa, strike the number 2 and put, the above can be carried out by either the commission's own staff or by letting the studies out under contract. Now we'll go to 2. Seeing to it that adequate physical facilities are available for the convention. 3. Preparation of a list of consultants both in-state and out for use by the delegates and committees. 4. Assembling persons for staff work and determining the size and tasks of the staff. 5. Determining and ordering the necessary equipment. Okay, let's go to another page now. This will be separate and it'll be under the title of Preparatory Research and Materials, Equipment, Facilities Needed for Constitutional Convention. Number 1, Administrative Manual. Number 2, annotated copy of the Constitution, state constitution. Number 3, Constitution of the United States. Number 4, copy of the state constitution, model state constitution, published by the National Municipal League. Number 5, Robert's Rules of Order or Mason's Manual. Number 6, a list of delegates, hometowns, addresses, phone numbers, and occupations. 7, a description of the facilities, meeting rooms, services, and etc. 8, materials on subjects to be discussed, study papers. Under a subheading of Facilities, Services, and Equipment, Library services. Preparation and planning for floor arrangements. Including seating, public viewing area, and press area. Identifying and getting equipment. Setting up of committee rooms. Private offices. Newsrooms. Staff workrooms. Provisions for rapid and continuous reproduction of convention notes, records, and reports. Printing facilities. Mailroom facilities. Telephone service. And under the library, some of the things that should be contained in it would be high court decisions in the state Supreme Court. Annotated constitutions of various states, statutes, general studies of constitutional revision, analysis of constitutional problems in other states, general studies of America, American, state, and local governments, a selection and subscription service of newspapers of the state, background studies on substantial problem areas, and having the librarian establish a clipping service during the Constitutional Convention. Okay, another page. This would be entitled Delegates. 1, how many? 60 to 65. Developing the basis of election, where the delegates come from, how that will be decided. 3, whether the election should be a partisan versus nonpartisan election for delegates. And under partisan and nonpartisan, we'll just put a note in here that under a nonpartisan election, some of the pros are it would not jeopardize the independence of the delegates. Partisan elections sometimes lead to partisan organization of the convention. The delegates should be looking for broad perspectives and not partisanship. And some people may refuse to participate in partisan politics and thus will refuse to run if a partisan election is held. A subheading, role of delegates. Under the role of delegates, we have number 1, the delegates will be representing the whole state, not just a district. They should be appraised that they are drafting the fundamental law of the state for all the people and for the future. 3, there should be room for debate and discussions on all subjects. The delegates should be appraised of the compromise method. Delegates should not underestimate the general public and should seek input from the general public in their deliberations. 6, the support for the Constitutional Convention product after the convention is held, and full support even though possibly a delegate's pet projects have not been adopted. Officers of the convention, president, 1 or 2 vice presidents, and a secretary, with the president playing the crucial role and administrating and performing leadership qualities. Vice president chosen possibly from geographical areas to assist the president and to take over in the president's absence. The secretary would be in charge of administrative, clerical, and custodial activities of the convention. Make sure that it's a smoothly running convention, maintains or is responsible for maintaining all the records of the convention, prepares daily calendar for sessions, circulates schedule of committee meetings, assigns and supervises all work of the administrative, clerical, and custodial personnel, and thought should be given that the secretary not be a delegate due to all its work, and possibly should be chosen from somebody from either the preparatory commission or from a person who has worked to initiate the Constitution, the Constitutional Convention. Under committees, in the original Constitutional Convention in 1955, there were 10 committees dealing with the major subjects of the Constitution, and the auxiliary committees consisting of rules, style and drafting, administrative resolutions and recommendations, and public information and relations. The Rules Committee would be the first committee appointed, the first committee to go to work. Part of their duties would be to develop a set of rules which must be presented to the delegates for their approval. Also, the possibility of developing temporary rules in order to begin work, or the preparatory committee could do this prior to the convention's meeting. The administration committee works with the president and the secretary of the convention to, one, supervise staff work and the conduct of employees, two, the general control over the convention and facilities, three, the approval of major purchase of equipment and supplies, four, the supervision of expenditures of all convention appropriations, and five, the supervision of printing. The Committee on Style and Drafting reviews all the products in order to remove inaccuracies, repetition, and inconsistent language, arrange the work of the convention and the committees in an orderly fashion, and would be responsible for the technical work, not the philosophical changes in what the committees and the convention delegates decide. And public information would prepare and report to the people, keep the people informed. And the thought that it could be a press person hired for that specific purpose, or a small committee. Under assignments to committee, listed under who, the president should assign people to the various committees. Some states have tried a committee to do this, or the president with one or two vice presidents, but usually these have run into problems. The suggestion is that the president make all the appointments to the committees. Criteria of membership should be determined by, one, wishes of the delegates, two, experience and training and qualifications, three, the distribution of committee membership over geographical areas, and four, points of view. Also, there must be consideration of putting too many experts in one field on a committee, for instance, having the Judiciary Committee all lawyers, and also of certain members of a committee being too overbearing or doing most of the talking. The committee should be balanced, and there should be free thought and distribution of ideas. The chairman of the committees should also be chosen by the president, and they should be chosen under the same criteria on a committee level as the president is chosen for the convention, and they are usually the policy leaders of the convention. Their duties include calling meetings, presiding, approving of all products and the release thereof, information release, informing the convention officers of progress or problems, appointing subcommittees and subcommittee chairmen, arranging schedules, inviting persons to testify, authorizing staff studies, and requesting the aid of consultants. The committee chairman and delegates should be aware that the functions listed previously are not the sole prerogative of the chairman, that the delegates and committee members should be able to vote and override a decision if a majority votes that in that direction. The next subsection would be Convention Secretariat. Just listing this under needs, recording rapidly and accurately the goings-on of the committee and the general sessions. And needed would be stenotypists, technical reporters for writing summary reports, tape recordings, typists, printers, and Xeroxers. Records that should be kept would be the daily calendar of convention activities, the daily journal summarizing the convention plenary sessions, committee minutes, proposals and resolutions, committee reports, and administrative memoranda on special subjects. Also, records need to be kept in accounting, personnel and inventory records, verbatim records of all plenary sessions, important committee meetings, and public hearings. Also, official correspondence of the convention. Under printing, printed and bound copies for permanent filing. Verbatim plenary proceedings, committee reports and proposals, and the adopted constitution with an introduction describing the background, organization, and method of functioning of the convention. Public hearings and pre-convention documentation should also be printed for permanent filing and permanent distribution. Housekeeping matters include personnel services, payroll, mail, messages and materials distributed, equipment and materials purchased, janitorial services, information, and files. Employees. It should be remembered that the convention is the hiring authority, usually the final decision for hiring an employee comes under the president, possibly under the secretary. The planning committee or preparatory committee should list and solicit employees that are available, and should list consultants who might be available to help the convention. Also, the convention could borrow some employees from the state agencies, should they desire to. In order to secure the services of a higher quality of employees, it has been found by other state constitutional convention administrators that the employees should be paid at a higher rate than the prevailing scale of the community in order to gain competency, and because the constitutional convention will involve only short-term employees. Also, state employees who are doing the work in addition to the work that they carry out as state employees should be compensated by either overtime or time off at a later date. As far as private secretaries, it has been found that basically only the president and the secretary need private secretaries. There also may be an occasion that committee chairmen would have the use of secretaries, although a secretarial pool is probably best for delegates, with one secretary to each four or five delegates. Under professional advice, there'd be a subheading, and use of professional consultants. There should be a professional consultant available on call, at least one for every major subject matter. There also should be a consultant or two that's considered a constitutional generalist, a person with wide experience and knowledge of state and local government. His job would be to study the Constitution as an entity and to criticize specific proposals in terms of the whole document. A constitution, especially in revision, can become a hodgepodge of unintegrated information, policies, and words, if not incompatible. Let's try that again. A constitution, and especially in the case of revision, can become a hodgepodge of unintegrated, if not incompatible, clauses and phrases turned out by uncoordinated committees. It would be the job of the constitutional generalist to sort these out and put them in some form of order. There also should be a style and drafting consultant, preferably someone who is familiar with professional drafting. The style and drafting committee can agree, and the other committees can agree, and the convention as a whole can agree to various subjects, but the work of the drafter is to fashion what the delegates want in words that read like fundamental law and not like committee reports or a hastily passed statute. It must be realized that constitutional drafting is an art, and the better the job of drafting, the fewer the problems of interpretation in the future. Consultant selection. Especially in the case of Alaska, that has problems that people from the outside might be unfamiliar with, state sources should be explored first for the consulting people working on the Constitutional Convention. Although the convention should be willing to go on beyond state lines, for recognized experts who could possibly provide a breath of fresh air and new ideas in constitutional revision. Some areas that consultants can be drawn from include colleges, government research agencies, professional associations, for example, of lawyers, CPAs, and public officials, national organizations such as the National Municipal League or the Council of State Governments. When? Consultants should be brought in early, but not necessarily be there when the convention opens. Consultants can do initial work prior to the convention and then should be available once proposals are made and the work begins. The consultant should be responsible to the president, and he should exercise clear authority and supervision over the consultants, with the final say on their hiring and their terms of assignment. The committee chairman may request consultants, but should do so through the president, and he will assist them in choosing the proper consultant for the work that they need done. Consultants should remember that they are not delegates. They should not act like delegates. They are technical advisors. Also, delegates must not use the consultants for controversial subjects. The consultants' work should not be quoted on the floor debate, since it's the delegates that are defending or objecting to the decisions made by the committees and members of the convention. Consultants, though, should be fairly open and should be allowed the freedom to express opinions and advice in the committee meetings. It is up to the committee to sort that advice and recommendations to form their ideas for constitutional change. Another subheading, if these sound disjointed, they'll be brought together later on, but they're ones that I've particularly worked on, Landa, so don't despair. I know the last 15 minutes or so have been a little bit disjointed, but I'm trying to get all of this down while it's fresh in my mind. This subtopic would be keeping the people informed. The Constitutional Convention should keep the people of the state informed. It should inform the people of the issues that arise, differences of opinion, and settlements of problems. A steady stream of information should be given to the people throughout the convention's deliberations. If this is done, the final task of explaining to the people the changes in the Constitution that have been made will be made easier. Constitutional change, unless there is a burning issue, or issues, seldom generate much excitement, and many times the turnout for the vote on constitutional change is very small. Paragraph. One of the reasons for a small turnout in a constitutional vote is that often people do not have the necessary information or knowledge of the changes and how they change the fundamental laws of the state. In order to properly inform the public, they must be educated on the issues and stimulated in their concern. The educational process must begin even before the convention meets, actually, comma, before the vote on whether or not to hold a convention is taken. In order to pass judgment on this initial question, the people must be informed of the issues and the possibilities. The legislature should authorize funds for preparation and dissemination of information prior to the vote on holding the convention, and if a convention is called, before the convention meets. Prior to the convention, the preparatory commission should release information to the public about voting on the constitutional convention. That information should include the state constitution as it exists now, the importance of a constitution and the fact that it is the fundamental law of the state, a brief outline of constitutional history and what has happened to date and what has happened to bring the question of holding the constitutional convention up at this time, what a constitutional convention is and what it can do, what a constitutional convention can and should not do, or cannot and should not do, possibly a section in whether a constitutional convention should be called, using honesty and straightforwardness in expressing both sides of the question. If a constitutional convention is called, including what the weak spots are, and securing public input. Any information, especially prior to a constitutional convention vote, and then, if approved, prior to the convention meeting, should include brevity, clarity, and simplicity. Very few of the general public have the time to wade through the type of information and materials that are generally prepared for governmental agencies and the legislature. This will be a subheading entitled Information During a Constitutional Convention. A special committee on public information should be set up to handle informational matters for the convention. Another way to handle this informational disbursement could be to hire a professional media person who will work with the leadership of the convention to keep the public informed. Specific tasks to be undertaken by this committee or the media person are as follows. 1. Briefing session prior to the convention and after leadership and the committees have been chosen with all members of the public media. 2. Instruction to committee chairman on how to secure the best and most accurate news coverage. 3. Weekly summaries of committee activities and important developments can be issued to the news media, both those covering the convention and outside news groups who do not have representatives attending the Constitutional Convention. 4. This committee should maintain a liaison with organizations in the state interested in constitutional revision, sharing information, news, and publications with them. 5. A schedule of events and meetings should be available in advance to the media services. 6. Schools should be kept informed on what is going on. Possibility of schools setting up mock constitutional conventions with the information sent to them. Arranging of school tours using either local trips or possibly Johnson O'Malley funds for long distance trips. And information talks to school students. 7. Interviews of the leadership and committee chairman can be held periodically. 8. Committees can call on important and respected people within the state to testify at the convention. These people normally will generate news just by testifying themselves. 9. Possible TV coverage of some committee meetings and the daily plenary sessions, similar to the Capitol series during legislative sessions. 10. Public hearings should be held in other communities for maximum exposure. The last section under this information would be after the convention. 1. Dispersal of copies of revision throughout the state. 2. Distribute explanatory papers for statewide distribution to the news medias, universities, schools, organizations which are interested in constitutional revision. 3. Press conferences should be held outlining the changes in the Constitution and why they've been made. And 4. The convention can establish a speakers bureau made up of staff and delegates to speak to service clubs, chamber of commerce meetings, and other organizations throughout the state, explaining the changes in the Constitution, why they were made, and how they will affect the state after implementation if the voters ratify the work of the committees. Okay, Landon, now we're going to skip to a totally separate paper. This will be just a little report within itself. And it's entitled Constitutional Commissions. One of the outcomes of holding a constitutional convention may well be to expand the time period for the public referendum on whether or not to hold a constitutional convention from every 10 years, to every 20 years. Should this be the case, the state may wish to establish a constitutional commission. Paragraph. The commission would be charged with studying the Constitution and periodically meeting to formulate recommendations for constitutional revision, either through legislative amendment or, if necessary, constitutional convention. Paragraph. Many states have authorized constitutional commissions, and their popularity is rapidly rising, mainly because of their acceptability to state legislators who prefer to rely on auxiliary bodies over whose proposals they have control. Commission proposals may be accepted, rejected, or modified in whole or in part at the discretion of the legislature. Additional significant factors accounting for the growth of constitutional commissions throughout the United States are 1. Less enthusiasm for constitutional conventions because of voter rejection of proposed changes and/or the fact that a convention may open the whole Constitution for revision. 2. Failure of the traditional piecemeal amending process. Let's try that again. 2. Failure of the traditional piecemeal amending process significantly to modernize antiquated constitutions. Paragraph. A commission can be created by statute, comma, executive order, or legislative resolution, and can be either a study or a preparatory commission. In other states, the study type is the most prevalent. Paragraph. Usually the study commissions are charged with studying the Constitution, determining needed changes, and submitting recommendations to the legislature. These recommendations may take the form of proposed amendments or recommending the holding of a convention. Paragraph. The preparatory commission duties involve taking care of the logistics, assembling information, research, preparing special studies, preparing schedules, collecting source materials, preparing agendas, formulating temporary rules, recruiting personnel, and generally performing the essential services to get a convention underway. Paragraph. Membership on a commission is usually a mixture of government persons, comma, major interest groups, and interested persons, and is appointed or ex officio. A workable body in Alaska would most likely be between 9 and 15 members. The commission could be The commission could be 1. Appointed for an indefinite period of time, meeting quarterly and reporting to the legislature. 2. If the Constitution of the State of Alaska is modified to have the referendum vote every 20 years, comma, the commission could meet every 10 years for 1 year to study the Constitution and recommend changes. Or 3, the commission could meet for a predetermined period of time every 5 years. Paragraph. In summary, the value of a constitutional commission, especially if the Alaska Constitution is revised to have a referendum call every 20 years, will be to provide advice and suggestions on constitutional matters which legislators have little time to devote their attention. This auxiliary body may provide review and recommendations without constituent pressures and may be able to provide objective, sound, and consistent amendments which would improve the fundamental law of the state.